Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. 2013 is history. We're moving on into a brand new year with challenges old and new. I've asked Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, to share with us some thoughts about the year that has ended and the year to come. Lincoln, what's on your heart today?
Well, it's been an interesting year. Not at all unlucky, as some people might think, with the year 13 in it. 2013, it's hard to believe that we're way beyond a decade past 9/11.
Yes, yes.
2001. The years are getting by quick. And on religious liberty, there, of course, are many developments. They're not always singular events, but looking back, I can see a continued shift, I think, away from civil liberties in the way that they were described in the Constitution, away from privacy, the way it's described in the Constitution, and even away from a sense of religious uniqueness that there's no question that the society in colonial America had. We're a very religiously divergent society in the world generally, obviously, but in the United States particularly. And the tensions from that are often very visible, and they're always intersecting with the war on terrorism, which is then Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld said would a war that would last our lifetime, and he's probably not wrong. In different ways, it keeps bubbling up. But the most recent thing that this year has brought us, and I think it will continue over to 2014, is the understanding by many people of just how little privacy we have. Mm-hmm. I was on a trip in the U.S., but I heard on the news that one of the revelations from Snowden, this guy that has spilled a lot of the beans out of the security system, and many people think he's a traitor, many people think he's a hero, and time will tell on him as a person, but it's probably not bad for the general public for certain things to hit the light of day so we know what's going on. And one of Snowden's revelations caught me as an Australian because it turned out that in recent years, the Australian government has handed over raw, gross information on their citizens to other countries. And they said in the news, they said in particular information on their religious affiliation and activities.
Really?
And while I don't particularly believe that the Australian government or whoever they gave it to had a dangerous agenda on this, that is the stuff of problems for religious freedom.
Yes.
Where, as I say, gross. That means all the information that they'd gathered, and that could be very fragmentary and perhaps even misleading on person's religious identity and behavior, for that to just be thrown over to another entity that might be fishing through it, goodness knows for what reason, it's hardly likely to create clarity on religious identity.
Right.
And we know that that sort of stuff's also happening in other Western countries, probably the U.S., but It was revealed that it happened with Australia. And so, you know, I'm reminded as we come to the end of 2013 that privacy is not a thing that you can presume on anymore. And it's a contradiction, I think, in a way, of a Christian or of anyone of faith. You want people to know about your faith. You want to be able to share it. So in that regard, getting the word out's not bad. But you know, we're not that many years removed, a lifetime to be sure, but not that many years removed from the dislocations of Germany that led to the Nazi horrors. And that all started with having people wear a designation that they were Jews, putting out very misleading information about their religious activities, and it ended with them being counted as not necessary for society and liquidated. So I don't know where this will go, but probably not a good direction when unfiltered information, unknown to the individual, is circulated like that.
The problem, as I see it, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is not that they know about you. The problem is that they will then have a standard
that they know whether you match it or not, whether you live up to it, whether you fit with it or not. Someone knowing that I'm a Christian is not a problem. But if someone says Christians are bad, then knowing I'm a Christian is a problem. Am I on the right track here?
Right. I think I said it on this program once before, but a security analyst who'd worked for the U.S. intelligence services, when someone said, well, I don't care what they know, it's not secret information, I want people to know certain things, mm-hmm. he said, just remember, you're not the one that determines yes. what is right and what is
yes.
wrong. That's
yes.
the thing. You don't know the criteria used in secret without your knowledge and your input. You don't know the criteria used to evaluate that. Mm-hmm. And again, fragmentary information can look quite bad, and you might be fine, but someone else with a similar affiliation may be doing something that has nothing to do with religion, but it could be equated with your religion,
right,
and then
exactly.
you know, things can just spiral out of control. We know that it's happened in many, many countries. Yeah. So yes, transparency and openness is very good for religion, but in a way, this is not transparency and openness.
No.
It's just massive amounts of material shared in a narrow group of people that might have troublesome opinions, and they're in the position to act on it in quite negative ways. So, yes, that's a lesson that we should carry into the future years, particularly with a view to religious liberty, but civil liberties generally. It's not good in this information age to allow unfettered access to this information, even though we might think there's nothing dangerous about it per se. But looking back also on what's happened in 2013, the Supreme Court have been mulling over some interesting cases, and 14 will bring the conclusion to some of them. There's a court case or a judgment before the Supreme Court for their evaluation on Hobby Lobby, a large chain of hobby stores run by Christian owners who have taken great exception to the healthcare mandate that would require them to offer to their employees healthcare insurance that would, of course, include all the provisions mandated by the government, and within that, things like abortion and contraception and so on, and they don't want that. So it's gone all the way up to the Supreme Court, and on the face of it, might seem great. This is their religious principle. Why should they be required to offer it? But when you think about it a little further, the employees may not have any particular faith view. Mm-hmm. The business is not related to their religious faith. And you know, when should a person of faith restrict the activities of other people? There's a very real issue here with Hobby Lobby, but it derives from the view that the Catholic Church presented with their institutions. But it's clearer, I think, with Hobby Lobby. Are we going to allow an employer in this case to make a decision for someone that doesn't share their faith as to what services they will have? It's being posited as a matter of personal conscience, but in reality, I think it's a little larger. Well, what right do you have to project your faith against society through its laws and regulations?
You know, as I listen to you talk about this, we face this situation multiple times in our own lives. We go and we buy a product from a store. Maybe the person that sells that to us will take that money and buy drugs or do something horrible with the money we give them. But yet, that is not our responsibility, what they do with the money we give them. Well, would it be Hobby Lobby's responsibility, what their employees do with the insurance that they make available to them? No, because some people may not go to get an abortion. Some people
That's
may not
point.
Get the contraception.
It's not a foregone conclusion
yes,
that because
exactly.
that includes it, that they are then vicariously
yes,
doing this
yes,
thing
yes.
against their conscience through their employer. No, the employer... Employee, rather, has that same chance to exercise their moral judgment
yeah.
and to do or not do what's included there. Mm. The other thing that I think intersects with it, and I've not really read about it, but I'm sure it's connected, is about a year before that, the Supreme Court made a decision that I think is the most aberrant of recent years, declaring that corporations are individuals and have the same rights as individuals.
Mm.
President Obama was so upset about it, he mentioned it in his State of the Union once, and the Supreme Court took great exception that they had to listen to his critique. But it, you know, even if it's a correct decision, it's a clear statement of something that threatens much of what we presume on the rights of the individual versus, you know, a corporate decision. Or put it another way, and it goes to the heart of religious liberty, the principle of religious liberty is that you're a majority of one. Mm-hmm. If you have a faith commitment, that's to be respected. It doesn't matter if 99.9% of the population want to do otherwise, they have no right to restrict you. Mm-hmm. Here, through a corporate view, a business viewpoint, it may be actually making a decision in advance for how an employee will act towards something like the healthcare and with the moral ramifications that has. Mm-hmm. Then there's one other case before the Supreme Court that's going to be very interesting. It's a continuation of an old discussion, but it's sharpened in this case. There's the town council of Greece, New York, and they were in the habit of having prayers before their meetings. And whoever was organizing it, I think, created the problem by tilting toward a certain religious viewpoint and a certain type of prayer. Yes, so it became offensive by some people, and they challenged it, and it's gone up to the Supreme Court. And while the court has looked at this sort of stuff before, and they've often allowed certain prayers and religious activity as ceremonial deism, which is a damning statement because it means religion removed of its real significance.
Exactly.
When I hear the discussion of the justices talking about this, they seem to be mulling over what sort of prayer could be generic enough to offend very few people. And if they're prepared to set something up that ahead of time you know will offend some people, that's a problem because... Yeah. While that might be true in the real world, you can't consciously allow on religious liberty, as I said earlier, that most people are okay, but the few on the fringes are being restricted or penalized. That's the stuff that's a prelude to persecution.
Yes,
well, I don't think that's intended here. That's the dynamic that enables it. And at the same time, in society and voiced by a number of church groups, we have the idea of working toward the common good, which is a term they use. And the common good is the people in the aggregate, not worrying about the very fringes. And it stated very much what they said in Jesus' time. Better that one man should die than that the nation should perish. Mm-hmm. So if for the common good, we have a generic mumbo-jumbo prayer, you know, big deal that an Episcopalian or something is, well, they're not a minority, but, you know, a Hare Krishna or something is bothered on the extreme.
Yeah.
And that could easily lead to a public hardening of attitudes toward minority faiths and minority conscience provisions.
Well, it's obvious that the beat goes on when it comes to religious liberty in this world.
In fact, it goes on and it gets louder.
And we will be here through this next year and the year following that to make sure, listener, that you are up to date on what you need to know when it comes to religious liberty. Lincoln Steed is committed to sharing that with you, not only on the radio program, of course, but in his magazine. Also on the website, libertymagazine.org. We invite you to check that out. Lots of blogs there, discussion groups, articles, these programs you can listen to and find out how you can subscribe to Liberty Magazine as well. That's all on libertymagazine.org. And until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.